This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The American Reinvestment and Recovery Act is sending money from Washington to state and local governments across the country in an effort to stimulate the economy and create jobs. But not everyone is happy about that. Several governors attempted to reject the funds, and here in Charlotte, Mayor Pat McCrory has criticized how the money is slated to be used. He shared his thoughts in the Wall Street Journal and with us.
Roosevelt built dams, Eisenhower built highways, and this stimulus package is filling potholes.
Although the stimulus package was sold as a way to fund important infrastructure projects, McCrory says less than 15% of the money is being spent that way. Most is being spent on short-term projects. Yet the resulting debt will be shouldered by the next generation, who won't see much benefit. But what about the jobs being created?
This concept that we're creating new jobs is also a little misleading because there is no measurement available to measure what jobs have been saved. So it's being made up by politicians right now, including mayors and governors and people in the federal government.
Today, though, a different perspective on the stimulus package from Jennifer Roberts, the chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission. Welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Good to be here.
She is here to share her opinion of the package and information on the kinds of projects that it will fund throughout the county. And she is joined in our Spirit Square studio by Sharon Kugelmass, Mecklenburg County's Grants Development Director. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you.
And Bud Barrow is Director of the Piedmont Region of the North Carolina Governor's Office. Is that the correct title?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us as well. Any comments on the mayor's comments, Chairwoman?
Well, I think it's important for the public to understand the goals in the Recovery Act, and there are a lot of things that are being funded that are not apparent, that are not the big infrastructure projects. A lot of the stimulus funding has gone to help people stay afloat, people who've lost their jobs, people who are applying for food stamps and Medicaid. By the way, that spending goes straight into the economy because people use their food stamps to buy food. And that keeps, Bilo and Harris Teeter going. So there's a lot going on in the area of the environment. There's a lot going on in the area of energy. And I think what I look at the Recovery Act as doing is focusing on a transformation of our infrastructure. If you think about dams and bridges and roads, that's really the infrastructure of the 20th century. What we are moving into is a new energy economy. We're moving into a need for energy efficiency, for renewable energy generation. There's a lot of stimulus funding around that as well. And actually, that's going to benefit the Charlotte region to a great extent because of our new energy hub that the governor has talked about.
Well, in fairness to the mayor, who is a Republican and you are a Democrat, but in fairness to the mayor, he had some fairly strong things to say about the stimulus package or the Homeland Security money that came out of the Bush administration after 2001 being wasteful. And he said so at the time, and that it was money being ill-spent, and we were going to stockpile all this stuff that we would never use. And Charlotte was not immune to that, nor were communities around the country. So he's not just picking on Obama, but do you think that some of this is politically motivated, or do you think it's just a difference of opinion?
Well, I think there's, we live in a country that's become more and more partisan, and I think there's always going to be a political slant to anything you do. I mean, talking to school children is a political slant. But I think that there are objective ways to look at it, and I went to Washington in February very early in this in the new administration to talk to government officials about the purpose of the stimulus funding and about retooling our infrastructure challenges in the future. And I think that that's something that, conservatives and liberals should be able to support.
Okay.
If I could just add to that, too, I think it is important to look back to early this year, what the purpose of this act was. And there's been a lot of discussion about infrastructure and jobs, but it was really multi-purpose. One of the objectives was to stabilize state budgets, which cannot run deficits, cannot borrow or print money, which was very important in North Carolina, which at one point had the third most serious budget deficit in the nation of all the states. The second is to provide relief for working folks who've had issues in terms of unemployment insurance, Social Security, the need to buy food. The third was to provide infrastructure improvements, bridges, roads. But fourth is also things that could improve our infrastructure longer term, improvement of drinking water, weatherization that have job benefits and other benefits to the economy.
We just came, I'm sorry.
And we are, just to talk about measurements, at the end of October, I think all states, including North Carolina, are required to provide a quarterly report of jobs being created. Any business that is any entity that's going to apply for grant money has to indicate the number of jobs to be created. So this program is going to actually go on till 2013. So we've got, and less than half of the money, at least for North Carolina, has even been committed. So we have a ways to go in terms of assessing the full impact, but there will be more data coming out from North Carolina and other states about what's going on in the near future.
We just came off the best economy the world has ever known, I think it's safe to say. Even though it was a mirage, it was still, we lived through it. How is it that North Carolina, at the end of that, was the third worst state in the nation? We have benefited from all kinds of growth, all kinds of money coming into the state. What did we just do? Throw it into the ocean?
No, I don't think that's a way to look at it. I think the better way is to, number one, look at our economy, which is in significant transition. If you look at the East, the West, and this region in terms of the types of industries that are driving our economy, and what was impacted by this recession, which was certainly the financial services area bore some of the brunt, and obviously that's been an important component of the economy in this region. On the revenue side, I think that the governor has said, and folks in the legislature have said, that we've got to reassess our revenue system. Our revenue system has been based on an economy that really doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It's more service-oriented. And you heard some discussion about that in the most recent legislature about that. We've got some more discussion. So those two things combined had a huge impact on this state.
Before we talk more about the stimulus package, and I want to get into some particulars here, tell me about your office's involvement. Tell me about your office, first of all. I mean, is this a new office that Governor Perdue has created, or did it exist under Mike Easley or Jim Hunt?
No, I actually saw Governor Hunt a week ago, and he complimented us on opening the office and said that, you know, we had an office in New Bern for a long time, mm-hmm. And one in Asheville, but there never has been an office of the governor covering what we call the Piedmont region, which is 25 counties from South Carolina to Virginia, Alexander to Anson. And like my two colleagues in New Bern and Asheville, the purpose of the regional offices, we represent and speak for the governor. She can't be everywhere at the same time. We maintain relationships with all local elected officials such as Jennifer Roberts. We do constituent work, which means individuals or companies or nonprofit organizations that may have challenges or issues or concerns with the state system or even the federal government, states, counties. We try to help them, either referring them to one of our relationships at the federal level or the local level, or help them within the state system. And the other thing that's really important is this governor likes to know what's going on. I provide a weekly report to her about what I'm doing, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, because she wants to know.
Her website, Governor Perdue's website, says the White House estimates that the stimulus plan will create or save 105,000 jobs in North Carolina. How is that figure arrived at? Do you think it's accurate? What kind of jobs will be saved or created? I'm not sure who to ask that question.
I think, Sharon been doing a lot of work for us in the finance office, and sometimes some of the estimates are more art than science, but there is, you know, there's real information there. I mean, you know, in the paper today, it talked about the $64 million coming to Charlotte Mecklenburg schools. We saw hundreds of teachers be rehired with that money.
If I could just, before she jumps in, just to clarify at the state level, that information is on our website. You can go to the White House Council of Economic Advisors website. They have a long report that came out in May that outlines the assumptions that were made. Our Office of Recovery, which is basically responsible for that website and the recovery effort, we have not tried to replicate that analysis. So we really, at this point, can't tell you whether that number is actually going to be correct. And also, we can't really say from a state perspective, because that's a federal analysis, whether all those assumptions work with what we see here. So that's a White House number, a Council of Economic Advisors number. I hear it may be revised later this week. Mm-hmm. So I would sort of express caution about that being the state's perspective on job creation. I really would go back to the fact we're going to be developing some metrics down the road.
I did credit the White House. It's their estimate. It's not the governor's estimate. She just put it on her website.
Right.
But would you think it's reasonable? Sharon, from what you've, the numbers that you've been shuffling through over the last several months?
Yes, I do think it's reasonable. I think you have to consider a range. And we're dealing with anywhere from possibly 3,000 jobs in our community to 9,600. So that has a substantial impact. And that's pretty much our share, our fair share of the 10% of the state's population.
The optimistic figure that I saw in Mecklenburg County was 9,660. That was a couple
perfect.
Of months.
Perfect. That's
you very much.
Your number.
Thank you. But, and that sounds impressive until you realize that there are 53,000 people unemployed mm-hmm. in Mecklenburg County alone. So 9,660 seems like a drop in the bucket.
Well, it's 18%. On the other hand, I was thinking about that coming in, and I'm thinking, well, we have about 6,000 homeless people mm-hmm. in our community. So possibly if even half of those people were working, we're not adding to those folks. We are providing opportunities and alternatives, conceivably, for people in variety of industries, and as Jennifer says, those are the industries of the future.
And what kinds of jobs are we talking about here? What kinds of salaries do they pay? What kind of benefits do they have? What kind of a long-lasting future do these jobs have? Because the stimulus money is going to go away at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think the original purpose is to provide a booster while the economy is recovering. And, I mean, there are concerns with elected officials around the state and around the country on what happens after 2 years. Mm-hmm. But with stimulus going to grow new industries, especially in the energy sector, with people being trained, I mean, I know that the Goodwill, for example, is applying for training to train people to weatherize homes, which is going to decrease the energy needs, save them money on utilities costs, but also grow the awareness of how you build with green techniques and how you save money in the long run on energy.
Well, as the mayor pointed out in his visit a couple of weeks ago, there are literally hundreds of architects out of work in this city alone because there's no building going on at the moment anywhere. And those are fairly high-dollar jobs. Will these be high-dollar professional jobs like that, or will they be jobs that are just entry-level jobs, these 9,660 jobs?
I think it's going to be a mix. If you look at where the stimulus money is scheduled to go, and again, on the governor's website, we have a fairly detailed listing of the types of projects, you're going to get a wide variety of positions with a wide variety of salaries and benefits. And even though that jobs number you gave, there's an assumption about the annual cost of that average job, I think in reality, for any particular community, it's going to vary. But I'd like to go back to what Jennifer said. This is not intended to be a permanent way to address the employment situation. It was basically intended to stabilize what was clearly, if you go back to late 2008, early 2009, a deteriorating situation. And this is not just creating jobs, it is saving jobs. Mm. The money to help the state budget deficit was to save jobs, and we have saved jobs because of that. Number two, as people are hired into these jobs, there is a multiplier effect because they will go out and spend money, and the folks that are selling them goods and services will in turn hire people. They will hire people. So one of the objectives is to use that multiplier effect.
Bud Barrow is the Piedmont Regional Director of the Office of the Governor here in Charlotte. Sharon Kugelmass is the Grants Development Director with Mecklenburg County, and Jennifer Roberts is the Chairwoman of the Mecklenburg County Commission. When we come back, I want to find out what kind of projects have been green-lighted so far around the state and what the grants process is to get this money. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Our program is made possible in part today by the U.S. National Whitewater Center announcing the All Sport Pass with access to a single day of whitewater rafting, mountain biking, climbing, and more at the 307-acre facility. Details at usnwc.org. Well, the United Nations says that 1 in 6 people around the world lack access to adequate amounts of safe water for drinking and for hygiene. But 5 years ago, a fellow from North Carolina, I think around Boone, if I'm not mistaken, came up with an idea to how to maybe address this problem, and he's begun to do so by doing what he does best. He's a bartender and a musician, so he's been pouring wine and making music, and so far, His Wine to Water program has brought water to more than 25,000 people. We'll hear from Doc Henley and hear about his story tomorrow at 9.
Key decisions ahead on U.S. policy in Afghanistan. The White House considers sending more American troops amid growing questions about civilian deaths, election fraud, and overall U.S. objectives. The Diane Rehm Show, Wednesday.
You're invited to join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon right after Charlotte Talks. Here on Listener Funded, 90.7 FM, WFAE, your NPR news source.
We're back at Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the federal stimulus package, the what's it called? The American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, which is bringing money to states and municipalities around the country. Jennifer Roberts is with us from the Mecklenburg County Commission. She's the chairman. Sharon Kugelmass is the Grant Development Director for the county, and Bud Barrow is the Regional Director for the Piedmont of the Office of the Governor. What kinds of projects, Mr. Barrow, have been green-lighted so far around the state as a result of the stimulus?
Well, actually, as I'm looking at the list, and I would want to, again, define projects very broadly because of how this money is being used. For our public and private universities, more than $500 million of Pell Grants directly to individuals, which is very important from an educational perspective. I do know that, for example, we have in the community health center area, we have a number of health services organizations that have received grants for infrastructure. We've had five green building projects around the state, various courthouses and federal buildings, about $11 million. That's already been approved. We forget that the defense industry is very important in North Carolina, and a lot of money has been going to road paving, energy conservation, roofing, utilities, infrastructure, involving defense-related business, businesses.
In the eastern part.
In the eastern part. Mm-hmm. You talked about the state as a whole.
That's right. Facilities here, too, in our community in the Piedmont.
And I can also tell you right here in our region, just to give you two examples, in Davidson, which is in north part of Mecklenburg County, they have about $500,000 of stimulus money going to a roundabout. And this is a great example. A woman was killed at an intersection several years ago. Someone was nearly killed. It was a very difficult situation, and that's where the stimulus money is very helpful. And then in Indian Trail, which is in Union County, they have a similar grant, about $500,000. So those are some small examples.
As I understand it, this money is not being handed down from on high by somebody up in the cloud picking and choosing projects. This money is being requested by entities. What is the process from the county's point of view? How do you choose the projects? How do you then apply for the money for the projects?
Well, that's right. The individual entities do have to apply. There are extensive reporting requirements that are connected to that. There's also, you know, one of the things that people aren't maybe aware of, there's a real encouragement to collaborate on these projects. You know, I'm just reading from one of these grants. Describe how your government is taking into account the implementation plans by adjacent units of local government, and describe how you will coordinate and share information with the state and other entities regarding these activities. I mean, there are a number of projects that are regional. One, for example, the replacing of aging diesel engines. Our air quality department has gotten over $1 million to help public and private entities around the region. I mean, we have to work in 8 or 9 counties to have, you know, farmers who have diesel engines on their tractors can apply. Cities and counties can apply around the region to get those aging engines offline and improve our air quality by getting newer engines in place. And that's just one example.
Will these be new diesel engines, or will these be some new kind of low pollution device, like a hybrid tractor?
There's money for hybrids as well. These are newer diesel engines.
Percolated filters.
But you know, it's interesting because there's also a regional grant that the Council of Governments has gotten from the Clean Cities Program for hybrid buses. There are going to be 5 buses at the airport, mm-hmm. And they're applying that grant regionally as well. And you know, if you look at the bigger infrastructure picture, there are jobs being created for the manufacture of clean vehicles, because there is no doubt that one of the main purposes in the stimulus funding is to transform the energy economy and help clean the environment.
So at the moment, and I know this number is in flux and it will continue to be so, at the moment, how much money is Mecklenburg County slated to receive, or has it already received as a result of this stimulus package?
Well, I'll let Sharon fill in some details, but let me give you a sense of the breakdown for just for county government. We have about over $12 million, $4.3 million is energy and the environment, about $3 million for Medicaid, food and nutrition, about $3 million for infrastructure, parks and greenways, about $1 million for public safety initiatives, and $500,000 for transitional housing.
But first give me the number. How much money have we gotten already, or are we scheduled to receive?
We've received about $10 million so far. That's Mecklenburg County government.
That's just county government.
Put that $10 million into some sort of perspective. It sounds like a lot of money to me, but maybe not to a county government.
Well, I was just going to add that, as Jennifer rightly pointed out, that is money received by the county government itself. If you go to our website, we have a breakdown by county of how much money is being received within the county by individuals and organizations as well as the county government.
Yeah, because I noticed on this list, and there's a long, 15 or 20 page list of entities receiving money.
Right.
Among them, the Art Institute of Charlotte. Central Piedmont, mm-hmm. and Charlotte Mecklenburg Hospital Authority. I'm just going through the Charlotte area because there's other
UNCC,
things.
UNCC, CP,
Davidson,
nonprofits.
College. The Hairstyling Institute of Charlotte is receiving a lot of money from the government.
It's jobs.
Okay.
Don't you need a haircut?
Again, on our website, the total, and this we update this, I think, weekly, we have we show about $3 billion in total for all 100 counties of money that has been definitely earmarked and is either going out, has gone out, or will be going out. And $266 million of that is in Mecklenburg County. And just to point out what we said earlier, $12 million for food stamps, $26 million for supplemental Social Security, $23 million for unemployment. So this is everything. This is not just what's going through the county government itself.
Okay, but getting back to the government, you mentioned, I think, $4.3 million going to energy and the environment. What areas of energy?
Water quality, mm-hmm. air quality improvements. These are costly, costly activities. These dollars are making a big difference just in the air we breathe, or will be very soon. So I think this is an opportunity.
And so where is that money going to make that happen? What kind of things are we going to be able to do that we couldn't do before because this money is now available?
We're improving our parks and the water systems, the creek network around the parks. That has multiple benefits.
Yeah,
the infrastructure around the park so that people can connect. We're connecting neighborhoods that way.
Well specifically for water quality, yeah. $2.6 million is going to help restore the Torrance Creek, which is the McDowell Creek watershed, one of our most polluted because of runoff from development. Goes into Mountain Island Lake, our major source of drinking water. That's $2.6 million that we would have applied to the state Clean Water Management Trust Fund for, mm-hmm. but because there was no money in that fund, the federal government, that money is going to replace that. That's going to be very important for the keeping future costs down for cleaning our water mm-hmm. supply. That's a huge project.
So to date, Mecklenburg has received $10 million. What do you? How much have you asked for?
Well, we've asked for over $12 million.
So you're pretty close to what you've asked for.
So far, and we continue to ask because we're now in a place where more competitive grants are being made available. In the beginning, in the early days of the recovery mm-hmm. program, more of the grants were formula grants, and that was based on population.
And how does this $10 to $12 million, Mr. Barrow, stack up against the monies that have been asked for and already received in the more rural counties in North Carolina?
I think that from a comparability perspective in terms of application versus what they're receiving, there's probably some similarity. But I will say that we've actually put a lot of focus around the areas with the highest unemployment. Scotland County, for example, just east of Richmond County, I think, it was registering over 17%, the last number that I saw. Our recovery office is actually dispatching individuals from each of our offices in the regions to go out and work with those counties, to specifically work with them on the grant application monitoring process, because their needs, by definition, are higher than some other areas. Mm-hmm. And I think that we still have to wait.
Higher than a more urban county?
Well, in terms of the unemployment situation, in terms of the job situation. So we want to be sure that everybody has.
But that's always been the case, hasn't it?
It has, but if you look at those numbers, they have been, the unemployment numbers, the county commission chairs in some of those counties will say that beyond the posted number, there are folks that have stopped looking for work,
right,
that are working for part-time, so those numbers are even higher.
So who makes the decision when a county like Mecklenburg or individual entities within a county send out their grant proposals for this money? And I guess that's how it's done. Is that the correct terminology? You write a grant proposal and you send it off to somebody, and that somebody makes a decision. Who do you send it to, and who makes the decision?
Send it to a lot of folks. First, even before it comes out of the county, we have an internal approval process. We want to ensure that we're not just chasing money, that this is important to our community and a community priority.
And how is that evaluation arrived at?
Well, normally a program director within a department comes up with a proposal, mm-hmm, or there's usually been a long-standing need and here's an opportunity. And it works both ways. Frequently, I'm always monitoring grants and grant opportunities. And when I see something, then I send it out to potentially interested program people. They in turn take it through channels. We take it to the Board of County Commissioners because it must be approved, mm-hmm, before we apply. And then we roll up our sleeves and write a grant if it's approved. Generally, we're pretty close to having that grant proposal in place.
To apply for American Recovery and what I keep forgetting the name of the
ARA
act. Yeah, the name of the act.
The act.
In this case,
stimulus.
Where do you send the request? Do you send it to some office in Washington? Do you send it to the governor's office here in North Carolina? Where do you send it to?
There's a variety of places. It's not unlike other grants in that respect. All departments have their own offices, but we now have, through the grants.gov mechanism, an opportunity to standardize this, to work online, send electronic proposals, and that has helped a great deal to standardize.
But which entity? The federal government or the state government has the final word.
Well, let me clarify this from a broad perspective. If you go to our website, you'll see there's about at least $2.5 billion of grants, and we actually break down what that may look like of the $8 billion total. Not all of that money is coming to North Carolina. We have a site, and I think that you referenced earlier. A fair amount of that money is being allocated by federal agencies. And so any entity that wants to apply for the grant has to go to that particular agency. And on our website, we actually have a breakdown by agency of what's potentially available. So that's the federal level. And then for the state level, we have a number of programs through each of our departments. It could be Department of Transportation, Health and Services.
Can I ask a politically stupid question? How is it possible that the government has a greased, oiled machine that hands out this money as it was intended in the act in such a relatively short amount of time, and yet we cannot decide on health care?
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Just happened overnight.
I was in Washington in February talking to government officials, and what they tried to do with the individual agencies, the EPA, Department of Energy, Housing and Urban Development, they're using existing granting programs. Right. The weatherization program is not a new program. Gaston County has been doing this for the region for years. What they try to do is use funding streams that already existed and just pump a lot more money into them.
Okay.
And I met with officials who said, you know, we're not going to create new entities for these grants programs, but we're going to put a lot more money into them. And that's how they've been able to get money out quickly.
Right.
Not as quickly as some would like. but it was pretty effective.
And also, Mike, there was no intention to redesign allocation formulas. A lot of what you see is based on existing formulas at the state level or the federal level, so we didn't have to go through a process of redefining all of that.
Okay. I think you mentioned this already, Jennifer Roberts, the Torrance Creek Restoration Project in Huntersville, but this is a project that you're receiving 2.567, I love that number, 2.567, and not a penny more, $1 million in federal stimulus money for that. Tell me about that project. What will the impact of the stimulus money be on that project? I guess, in other words, is it simply speeding up the process now that money is available, or is it making it possible to even conceive of doing it?
Well, in case you hadn't heard, the county's on a debt diet, which means that we have had to restrain our capital spending. Because of decreased revenues, our debt ratios are too high. We're in danger of losing our AAA rating. So we have had to delay a number of capital projects, and this will help us do stream restoration, which is helping to filter water that's going into our water supply. You may have seen Little Sugar Creek, how you put more meanders. There's a lot of filtration science in there. That's what we're going to do for Torrance Creek, and that's what this is allowing us to do. We might have had to delay this because we don't have the capital budget right now.
And according to the governor, this is on a list of, 40 drinking water and wastewater and stormwater projects approved in July, which will receive a total of $45 million in stimulus support. Where did the other $43 million go, or 42, since it's 2.567?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We found this during the drought, that when counties up and down the Catawba River get funding from the Clean Water Management Trust Fund or whatever, that benefits Mecklenburg County because we're all drinking from the same stream. And I looked at, you know, I pulled numbers for counties around us, the millions that they're getting in stimulus funding. If you look at our region as a whole, the $266 million going to Mecklenburg County, and you add Gaston, Iredell, Cabarrus, et cetera, which have 60-something million, 40-something million, all that. I mean, we are looking at about $600 million for this region. And we are going to benefit regionally from a number of those projects.
When Mayor McCrory was on the show, one of his criticisms of the legislation as it was passed was that it green-lighted shovel-ready projects, but that most cities and counties don't really have shovel-ready projects for infrastructure in the absence of funding. If the funding's not there, they don't even do the design work on the projects. And that the definition being used by the federal government versus the state government for what constitutes shovel-ready are different definitions. Would you agree with that?
I think that the shovel-ready term does not really give full credit for what one a state or an entity needs to do to apply for the money. It's a much more complicated process than that. I think that one has to look at each individual situation to determine what one needs to do to actually be able to get the grant money.
And he also said that the definition that the state is using for what constitutes shovel-ready is an effort to distribute the money across the state for political purposes. Here's what he said.
They've made a very narrow definition for two reasons: help redistribute the money across other parts of the state. And second, the problem we have is we have got to open up another Pandora's box here, is the equity formula, which means any federal money that we do get from the federal government, the state will take the equal amount away and redistribute it to the rest of the part of the state as the part of the so-called equity formula, which I've been trying to change.
We're up against a break, and so I'm going to get you to comment on the equity formula and the mayor's comments when we come back from the break with Bud Barrow, Piedmont Regional Director of the Office of Governor, Sharon Kugelmass, Grants Development Director for Mecklenburg County, and Jennifer Roberts, the Chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFA. Our program is made possible in part today by Mariner, equipping innovators with enterprise reporting and dashboards to revolutionize how they use information and improve corporate performance. Mariner-USA.com. Coming up at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, a conversation about key decisions ahead on U.S. policy in Afghanistan. The White House considers sending more troops amid growing questions about civilian deaths, election fraud, and overall American objectives. And in the second hour, Jane Goodall, one of our old guests, joins Diane for a conversation about her work with primates. She's a terrific guest. If you've not heard a long-form conversation with her, I encourage you to join us at 11 o'clock for that with Diane Rehm. If you'd like to join our conversation, now's the time. 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, or through WFAE.org/CharlotteTalks. And we're back in 30 seconds.
Foreign affairs, economics, history, music. Sometimes it seems like the world is one big classroom. There's a lot of stuff you need to know. I'm Melissa Block. Every afternoon, All Things Considered invites you to come along on a daily field trip. Don't worry, there's no test at the end. And who knows, we might even have time for recess. All Things Considered from NPR News, like school, but fun.
Hear the full picture weekdays from 4 till 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins with Jennifer Roberts, Sharon Kugelmass, and Bud Barrow. And we just played a cut from a previous show and a previous conversation we had with Charlotte Mayor Pat McCrory. By the way, you can hear our two other programs that we've done recently on the stimulus package by going to WFAE.org/CharlotteTalks. There are links to those other shows under today's show's title. But, Mr. Barrow, I'd like to get a comment from you about this equity formula that the mayor was just talking about, because a group of urban mayors recently met in Concord to talk about this very problem, that the urban counties are not getting money that they need because it's going for political purposes to other parts of the state, and that the stimulus package money is also suffering from that same distribution model.
Actually, I was with the governor at that meeting when she gave a speech. Two comments. One is, again, on the recovery website, you can see exactly where the money is going.
And so the recovery website is what?
www.ncrecovery.gov.
Okay.
And you can actually, I don't have the website in front of me, but you can actually click to get to the county-by-county listing. So that's, and also the subcategories. With respect to the equity formula, as we discussed earlier, part of the reason to help expedite this process was to not change a number of allocation formulas at the federal or state level, including in the case of North Carolina, the equity formula. And so
we're being cheated?
We are using the formulas that are in place. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about how money is allocated. Well, the legislature has to weigh in on that.
Because in July, the Observer reported that rural counties had benefited from the stimulus package at that time more than urban counties on a per-person basis, and that Mecklenburg County, the biggest county in the state with the most population, I would say the most important county in the state, ranked near the bottom in comparison. Has that been corrected in any way?
I think the per capita analysis is not necessarily the best way to look at it, and the reason is this. We have a number of projects that are being funded around the state, parks, military facilities, large infrastructure projects that benefit more than one county and a number of people. And if you try to take those numbers and then break them down by county and then by person, I don't think you get an adequate analysis.
Is part of your job as being the Piedmont Regional Director of the Office of the Governor to be an advocate for the region? We're just one part of the region. It's 25 counties, I understand that. But is your job to be an advocate or simply to be a contact person or a reporter for the governor?
It's actually both. It's to provide clarity around what the state and the governor are doing for the region, but in turn provide clarity to the governor about what the needs are of the region.
Do you see discrepancies in what's going on here and how this money is being handled from region to region or urban county to rural county?
I think any time you have a large investment project like this that's based on existing allocation formulas in a state where you have changing demographics, in a changing economy, there's going to be some challenges, and those cannot be corrected in the space of a series of months during which this Recovery Act was launched. And so I'm very involved in discussions about transportation, for example. On transportation dollars, I talk a lot with the DOT officials in Raleigh, and we are talking about longer term, how do we address some of these issues? So, yes, absolutely. The governor hears, I hear a lot from elected officials such as Chairman Roberts and the mayor and a lot of other folks, and that information goes back to not just the governor but our policy folks as well.
Let me just add to that in terms of looking at road funding from the stimulus money. We are, again, transforming our infrastructure, and I think that if you look at high-speed rail and light rail around the country, you say that, you know, it's hard to get applications in. Well, there's about $8 billion for high-speed rail. There were over, what, 300 billion applications.
Mm-hmm.
The need is great.
And when you say high-speed rail, you're talking about intra-city transportation, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And there is a network that could be built upon and help provide alternatives to help improve air quality, to help start a new energy economy. And counties and states around this country are looking at that with great interest. We're already seeing industries spring up. We're seeing, energy audits. Those didn't exist 5 years ago. There are new industries being started, looking forward to how we're going to deal with the 21st century.
But again, because light rail is not, I know this is not high-speed rail, but the light rail projects that are we're thinking about putting in from here where we sit to the university, and also a commuter rail package up to the Huntersville area, those are not shovel-ready. So they're not getting money.
Well, CATS is getting $20 million.
But not for rail.
For the bus facility.
Right.
Right, which is public transportation. But you're right, we are not getting, there's a lot of competition. But there are parts of that are shovel ready. And that is, that plan, for transit, we absolutely have to go forward with that because it's important for the region. We now have, counties around us have the ability to levy a quarter cent to add to their public transportation. They want to be connected to our light rail system. The challenge is going to be finding the funding.
Let's take a call. Put your headphones on so you can better hear the caller. And we'll begin in Concord with Dave. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great show. I appreciate the input that your folks are given. But it seems like it's all big projects like water quality and air quality. And, it takes a ton of money, and that does supply jobs. But what I want to know about is what is available for the individual. For instance, I live in a house that was built in 1947, and it's really very fuel inefficient, and I would really like to improve the efficiency of my house. I would really like to go off the grid if I could, or put in solar or wind because I do have some land. But I don't know where I would go or what resources I would utilize to go that route. Can your folks there tell the individual
Sure. Where
they might go to make improvements on their house or such as that?
I know that you cannot speak for the Obama administration or the former Bush administration that began the bank bailouts, but it seemed at the time that the banks needed bailing out because people were defaulting on mortgages that they couldn't afford, and it just seemed evident on the face of it that if you helped the people defaulting on their mortgages, that you would be helping the banks. So you'd be killing two birds with one stone. The big banks, General Motors, Chrysler, they've all been helped. And here are people sitting out there who are hurting badly. Wouldn't it be a boon to the economy to give tax credits or grants to people to put in solar, to tighten up their houses, to update their air conditioning and heating systems, to help them get off the grid? Wouldn't that be a better use, a more effective use, a more quick-term fix use of this money?
Well, actually, there is a piece of that in the weatherization program. It's targeted toward low-income housing, but people can apply in Mecklenburg County through the, believe it or not, Gaston County is actually running this program for us because that was the weatherization program that was in place. So it's Gaston Community Action Network. Is
so
that right,
our caller is calling mm-hmm. from Concord. Is there a Cabarrus County version of this, or do they apply through Gaston County?
I can't remember if Cabarrus is covered by them as well.
I don't have their number with me, but their number is very receptive, and they would refer them to whomever
they need to call. So he would call his county.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He can also call the air quality folks in Mecklenburg County, and they have that information as well.
Also, I was going to say that if you go again to the recovery website, there is a portion that deals with energy and what's available from an energy perspective, including weatherization. I would encourage the caller to go there. He's also welcome to call the governor's office here in Charlotte, and we can help direct him.
I mean, we just
did
this Cash for Clunkers program, which helped the automobile manufacturers and the car dealers. It worked very well for them. It's not going to do a damn thing for the air. That's all smoke and mirrors.
Well, there are state programs and rebates and for individuals in terms of weatherization, energy efficiency. So it's not part of the stimulus funding, but there are programs in place, and they are getting a lot more attention.
We did that, and once again, we've helped dealers, and we've helped car manufacturers, and to a certain degree, we've helped people who wanted a new car. Let's face it. So why can't we do that with things that will improve air quality long term, like not wasting energy, and will improve our energy efficiency, that will help small businesses who sell and install these pieces of equipment, who will help small homeowners. Why can't we help those people?
You know who else is actually helping in that area? I mean, we are partnering with the state and local governments, Duke Energy, Piedmont Natural Gas, Progress Energy. They all have energy efficiency programs as well.
Dave, does that help you at all, any of this?
I'm sorry?
Did any of this conversation help you at all?
Yeah, it does. Is Duke Energy working in conjunction
yes.
with the local governments on this?
Absolutely. And I traveled to Germany with Brett Carter, who's the president of the Carolinas for Duke Energy. And they are absolutely working on energy efficiency. It's part of their requirement for that renewable energy portfolio standard that they have to meet by 2020. They have to have 12.5%. Conservation is part of that. If you call Duke Energy, they will actually get you an energy audit and can help you plan some of those reductions so you can reduce your heating bills.
Dave, I'd also refer you to the Centralina Council on Governments. They do a lot of proactive work in directing people to the right resources.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Jim writes, you can list all the stimulus money received or coming and all these projects supposedly going on, but none of it is creating jobs, he says quite emphatically, especially anything to do with infrastructure as to construction. Don't believe me? Then just check the ESC statewide, any state paper, or the so-called job boards, and not just for today or a week ago, but since the receiving of any stimulus. Add to the above, also check on contractor bid calls or calls to subcontractors for bids by a contractor and the jobs being placed for bid. Evidently, it's not happening. There are no jobs being created.
I would disagree. First of all, we have to remember that the purpose of the act was to both create and retain jobs. And going back again to the support for the budget deficit, $1.1 billion of that went to education. That is being allocated out amongst each of the school districts in each of the counties. We don't have specific numbers yet, but clearly there were folks that would not have a job was it not for that. The second thing is, as I said, we're going to be providing quarterly reports beginning the end of October of what's actually happening in terms of job creation, and everybody applying for grant has to indicate exactly how many jobs are being created. So we're going to start seeing some data on this.
Okay. Did you want to comment?
I just said over the next 2 years, estimates are $161 million going to Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. Most of that is personnel. And it's our hope in 2 or 3 years when the economy picks back up that we can actually pay, that the county can actually help fund those jobs again. But those are jobs.
And when you say personnel in the schools, are you talking about teachers or are
yes.
you talking about administrators?
Yes. Teachers, behavioral assistants, counselors, mostly teachers.
Okay.
Teachers are mainly the ones.
A Facebook comment from a Turk who says, can someone please comment on shovel-ready versus infrastructure change when it comes to Charlotte, as in becoming more than Bank of America and U.S. Airways city? I'm not sure I understand the question.
I think that's a diversification of our industry, and I think that if you look at energy sector, we've had recent expansions announced by Toshiba, Siemens. We've got Shaw here. We are really becoming an energy hub, and that is transforming our economy, moving away from financial services into a whole new area, which is growing and is definitely going to be here for a while.
And I know that you said early in the program that infrastructure, which used to mean highways and bridges and dams, is moving into a new kind of infrastructure. But late last month, Governor Perdue announced 21 contracts totaling nearly $51 million had been awarded for highway and bridge projects across the state, including 8 funded through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Why wasn't finishing I-485 or widening the section in South Charlotte of 485 not part of those funds?
Well,
what are they thinking?
Well, remember, again, this is all based on a series of formulas and an approach that directs how the money is going to be used. With respect to...
Are you talking about the formulas that are in place, what's it called, the equity formula?
Which continually
cheats Mecklenburg County out of road money?
Let me talk about I-45 and the completion. That's been much discussed. The Department of Transportation is continuing to work with our local Mecklenburg Union Metropolitan Planning Organization, MUMPO, about prioritizations, but more importantly, finding additional sources of funds. I should point out that at the state level, projecting into the future from federal trust fund money and state trust fund money. We have $6 billion of available revenue, $9 to $12 billion of committed or planned projects. We have a $3 to $6 billion gap that we're trying to manage. And so that affects projects like completing 45 or the widening of 45 in the South.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, one of the challenges there is, and this was spoken about by David Agnew from the White House as well, that we don't have a metro region operating as one governing structure. We have RPOs and MPOs. Those are planning organizations. They're divided up among our eight-county area, and they're not on the same page with projects like 485 and the Gaston, the Garden Parkway.
So you're saying we need a council of governments?
We need a metro regional planning authority. And the White House is looking at this around the country. There are a lot of ones that are divided by state lines, et cetera. And we're going to work toward helping be stronger as a region.
Very quickly, I only have a minute left. The mayor, if I understood him correctly when he was here, is saying that whatever money we get from the stimulus package might be lost from other state sources and redistributed, because I think it's been said that, for instance, if the schools get more money, the state will simply take it away from other. If they were scheduled to get $2 million from one pot of money and the stimulus package gives them $2 million, the state will not give them the $2 million that was already allocated. So isn't this zero-sum game?
No, I think we view this as incremental, as additional. Absolutely.
And we saw it. The teachers that were let go have been rehired. I mean, this is money that is helping. It's not filling the glass back up to the full, but it is not leaving the glass empty. And people need to know that these dollars are working, and we're all working together collaboratively to make it better.
10 seconds. Will this have a lasting impact, or is this a short-term fix?
This is going to have a lasting impact on a lot of areas that are hard for the average person to see, but absolutely have a lasting impact.
It's also stabilizing our economy.
Jennifer Roberts.
Collaboration alone is making a difference.
Okay, that's Sharon Kugelmass, Grants Development Director for Mecklenburg County, Bud Barrows, the Piedmont Regional Director of the Office of the Governor, and Jennifer Roberts, the Chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission. Thank you all for being with us.
Charlotte Tom.